Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Maxwell welcoming you to Michael's Saturday Surprise for Saturday, July the 11th, 2015. Let's hear an hour of comedy. That's two old-time radio shows. Our first show comes from Our Miss Brooks and is entitled July 4th, Trip to Eagle Springs, and was aired on July the 3rd, 1947.
Palm Olive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. When the 4th of July weekend arrived at Madison High Summer School, it was welcomed most enthusiastically by Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English there.
I don't know why I looked forward to such a brief holiday with such keen anticipation. I like my work, and I'm very fond of my pupils. Then there's the school principal, Mr. Osgood Conklin. Well, what do you know? I just found out why I look forward to such a brief holiday with such keen anticipation. Mr. Conklin and I never have been what the scientists call chemical affinities. But last week, we really reached the ultimate in mutual harassment. I would hesitate to describe Mr. Conklin's temper as volcanic, but by last Thursday, I would swear I saw a thin trickle of lava flowing out of his ears. I was telling my landlady, Mrs. Davis, about it Friday morning at breakfast. He hasn't been this irritable since last month when I broke his new glasses.
My goodness, Connie, how did you do that?
It was an accident, Mrs. Davis. They broke when we both bent down at the same time.
You both bent down?
Yes, to pick up a hammer I had dropped on his foot.
Osgood is certainly hard to get along with. Connie, did you say you wanted tea or coffee this morning?
I said I wanted milk, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, of course you did. I'm getting so absent-minded lately. Almost as bad as my sister Angela.
How is Angela, Mrs. Davis?
Angela?
Your sister.
Oh. She's terribly absent-minded, poor dear. Why, the other morning, do you know what she did?
No, what?
She found herself with one foot in the bathtub and one foot out of the bathtub.
Well, there's nothing absent-minded about that. It happens to most of us, sooner or later.
But Angela couldn't remember whether she was just getting into the tub. Oh, whether she was just getting out.
Well, that is a dilemma. What did she do?
She let the water out and took a shower. Now, I'd better get you that hot chocolate you wanted.
It's milk, Mrs. Davis, and it's right here on the table. Can I pour some for you?
Oh, no, thanks, Connie. I never drink milk in the morning. It keeps me up all day.
Maybe we should have gone on talking about Mr. Conklin.
Say, that reminds me, Connie. How's Mr. Conklin been treating you lately?
You should have seen him yesterday when I stopped in at his office to get my check.
Was he very disagreeable, Connie?
Not at first. That's what's so confusing. When I sat down to sign for the check, he was extremely civil to me, almost courteous. And then in a few seconds, boom, his whole attitude changed.
But why?
That's what I'd like to know. You think I spilled that bottle of ink on his coat purposely?
Connie, not a bottle of ink.
I couldn't help it, Mrs. Davis, and I tried my best to get out the spots.
With what?
With spot remover, of course. Or at least I thought it was spot remover. It isn't my fault that Mr. Conklin keeps ammonia in his desk, is it?
Ammonia? But, Connie, ammonia will just burn right through the cloth.
Please, Mrs. Davis, you sound just like Mr. Conklin. But I won't be running into him for the next few days, thank goodness. I'm going away for the July 4th weekend.
But, Connie, can you afford to go away?
On my salary, I can't afford to stay home. But I've made up my mind to do it if I have to go without lunch for a week. And guess where I'm going, Mrs. Davis?
Where?
To Eagle Springs. And guess what bashful scientist is going to get the surprise of his life because he's going there, too, and doesn't know I'm coming?
It's not Mr. Boynton.
It ain't Al Einstein. Now, if you'll excuse me, Mrs. Davis, I'll get ready for school. Walter Denton should be picking me up pretty soon.
Oh, I'm sorry, Connie, but there's something I forgot to tell you. Walter called while you were in the shower and said he can't pick you up this morning.
Oh, great. And my car won't budge.
What's the matter with it, Connie?
I don't know exactly. Last time I went out to the garage to look at it, it was lying on its side, panting.
Walter said he hoped you'd understand, but he had to drive Mr. Conklin to the doctor's this morning.
The doctor's? Why, that's a shame. I wonder what's wrong with poor Mr. Conklin.
Well, Osgood, I can't seem to find anything radically wrong with your physical condition, outside of a slightly elevated blood pressure, that is.
What is my blood pressure, Dr. Haney?
Oh, nothing to worry about, Osgood. Around 180, I'd say. Of course, if it gets to 200, I'd advise you to sell.
If there's one thing I've always wanted, it's a comical physician. Now tell me, Doctor, what's wrong with me?
Well, I can't discover any physical symptoms, Osgood, but there's no doubt about it. Something seems to be troubling you mentally. Now, what is it?
It isn't a what, it's a who. And what a who. Even when we're not together, I can still see her face before me.
But Osgood, who is this woman?
It's Miss Brooks, Doctor. She teaches English at Madison.
Well, it seems to me, Osgood, if Miss Brooks grates on your nerves so much, you shouldn't let her cross your path. Avoid contact with her whenever possible. As a matter of fact, I recommend that you leave town for a few days.
That's it. I'll do it. I'll go away for the 4th of July weekend. But where?
Oh, it doesn't matter where. Do your world of good to get away for a few days. Say, now, maybe I can help you.
You?
Why, sure. I know the squaw in charge of reservations on the chief.
It will be good to get away.
Miss Brooks, you're just the person I wanted to see.
Good morning, Harriet. What can I do for you?
It's Daddy, Miss Brooks. I'm real worried about him. Last night he cried out in his sleep several times. Mother had to keep waking him up, and once in his sleep he screamed out your name.
My name?
Yes. That's when Mother had to tie him to the bed.
I think I can explain your father's nocturnal penchant for screaming my name, Harriet. We've spent the better part of this week exchanging unpleasantries.
Then Daddy did have words with you?
Harriet, your daddy had words that I wouldn't repeat in front of a sailor.
He was extremely nervous this morning when Walter Denton drove him to the doctor's.
Well, I hope his doctor has a good doctor. Now, if you'll excuse me, Harriet, I'll run along to class.
Just a minute, Miss Brooks. Here's Daddy now.
Oh, good morning, Harriet. Well, the doctor says there's nothing wrong with me physically at all.
I knew it. You look better already.
Thank you, my dear.
Good morning, Mr. Conklin.
Yeah.
He just took a turn for the worse.
Good morning, Miss Brooks. So far, I'd better get into my office now. I'll see you later, Harry.
All right, Daddy. But what's the umbrella for?
It looked like rain when I left for the doctor's. Oh, by the way, it's a rather sturdy umbrella, Miss Brooks. Care to whack me over the head with it to start off the day?
Oh, of course not, Mr. Conklin.
You're sure now?
I'll take a rain check. I mean, I'm positive. Oh, hold still a minute, Mr. Conklin. There's a thread hanging from the lapel of your coat. I'll pull it out for you.
You needn't bother.
It's no bother. I'll pull it out in just a second. There, that does it. No, there seems to be more. Hold still, please.
I'm waiting, Miss Brooks.
I'm pulling, Mr. Conklin.
His lapel looks all right, Miss Brooks.
Oh, I'm getting it now. Is this a new suit, Mr. Conklin?
Yes. Yes, it is. No doubt you remember my old suit, Miss Brooks. The one with the ink spots.
Ink spots? How in the world did you get... Oh, that one.
Yes, that one. I thought you'd like to know that I cleaned Walter Denton's windshield with it this morning.
Well, it certainly needed it. I mean, I'm sorry about your suit, Mr. Conklin, but... Say, this is funny. There doesn't seem to be any end to this thread.
So I see. Miss Brooks, would you be good enough to give me the ball of thread you're holding in your hand? I'll have another lapel sewn on.
Oh, forgive me, Mr. Conklin. I didn't realize...
My brand new suit. Two pairs of pants and one lapel. Let me in that office immediately, huh? Step aside, Harry.
But, Daddy... Daddy seems quite annoyed at you this morning, doesn't he, Miss Brooks?
I think so. In fact, there's an old Eskimo saying that describes his feelings toward me perfectly. It goes, Pulikamu Conakrio Exho.
What does that mean?
Baby, it's cold outside.
Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith. Here's wonderful news, ladies. Wonderful, wonderful news. Now there's something thrillingly new in Palmolive Soap's famous beauty lather. Yes, something thrillingly new. Palmolive's famous beauty lather now brings you new fragrance, new charm, new allure.
Millions of women will prefer beauty lather Palmolive over all other leading toilet soaps the minute they try it. For Palmolive Soap's famous beauty lather now has a new, clean, flower-fresh fragrance. For new allure, new charm.
So, ladies, forget all other beauty care and use Palmolive Soap the way doctors advised for a lovelier complexion. Just stop improper cleansing and instead wash your face with Palmolive Soap three times a day, massaging Palmolive's wonderful beauty lather onto your skin for 60 seconds each time to get its full beautifying effect. Then rinse. That's all. All types of skin, young, older, oily, respond to it quickly. Don't wait another day to try Palmolive's beauty lather. You'll be thrilled by its new fragrance, new charm, new allure. Thrilled again by the fresher, brighter complexion doctors prove may soon be yours.
For new loveliness all over, use big bath-sized Palmolive in tub or shower.
Well, I had no further encounters with Mr. Conklin during my first class, and while waiting for another session to begin, I was bolstered by the thought that I'd soon be on my way to Eagle Springs for the 4th of July weekend. While I was marking some composition papers, Walter Denton returned from the errand I'd sent him on.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks, but I'm back.
Did you get me a ticket to Eagle Springs, Walter?
Sure, Miss Brooks, but first I told Mr. Boynton I was going to the railroad station on an errand, and then I volunteered to pick up his ticket to Eagle Springs for him, and when he gave me the money, I just added what you'd given me and bought two tickets, seats 208 and 209 in the parlor car, right smack up against each other.
Why, Walter Denton, where did you ever get such a diabolical scheme?
From you. Don't you remember, Miss Brooks, you laid the whole thing out for me?
Never mind, Walter. Are you sure the seats are together?
Positive. And it was a lucky break I got any seats at all. The trains are sure crowded for this 4th of July weekend. Gosh, the station was alive with travelers.
Those are the best kind. Now, look, Walter. You have got to promise me you won't mention my trip to a soul. I don't want Mr. Boynton to know I'm going to Eagle Springs until he sits down next to me on that train.
You have my word as a gentleman and a scholar.
I've just read your composition. Your word as a gentleman will do.
No, all kidding aside, Miss Brooks, how did you like my composition? Great baseball yarn, isn't it?
Frankly, Walter, it's a little hard for me to judge. I know how crazy you are about baseball, and I'd like to be fair in marking your composition, but, well, this time you've really got me stumped.
But why?
Maybe it's because the first six pages contain nothing but the American League box scores.
I just put that in to make it more dramatic.
Well, some of it is pretty exciting at that. I remember one very eloquent phrase that keeps recurring in the story. Had me right on the edge of my seat. Let me find it. Oh, here it is. Coleman to Sternweiss to Phillips.
That's a famous double play combination. You know, on the Yankees.
Oh, Yankees, of course. The northern team. Well, you'd better be getting on to your next class.
Okay, Miss Brooks. Oh, before I go, is there anything I can do for you while you're out of town?
Yes, Walter. Come to think of it, there is something you can do. You'll probably be seeing a lot of Harriet Conklin over the weekend, won't you?
That's for sure.
Well, you can do me this one big favor. Whenever Mr. Conklin's in the vicinity, please don't mention my name.
When Mr. Conklin's in the vicinity, I'm usually not. He hates me, you know.
Your You're not the only one. But just don't talk about me when he's around. I'm hoping he'll cool down a bit while I'm away. Oh, there's that pesky fly again. He's been in here all morning.
I'll be darned if I'd hang around summer school all day if I was a fly.
Maybe he needs the credits. Hand me that fly swatter, Walter. Thanks.
Oh, he lit over here on the door, Miss Brooks. I'll open it and let him fly out.
No, don't, Walter. He looks like a germ carrier. I think I've got a good bead on the little pest. Here goes.
Fortunately, I get my glasses wholesale.
Mr. Conklin.
Now that you've warmed up, Miss Brooks, how about trying the umbrella?
It was an accident, Mr. Conklin. Miss Brooks didn't mean to hit you. She was after that other pest. I mean, the fly.
Well, if it isn't Walter Denton. I've hit the jackpot this time.
Oh, please, Mr. Conklin, if you'll just sit down a minute.
Yeah, Mr. Conklin, just have a seat. I'll gather your glasses for you.
Yes. Oh, Denton.
Yes, sir.
Get out!
Yes, sir.
Miss Brooks, the reason I came in here was to inform you, as I have the other members of the faculty, that I'm going away for a while.
Away? For how long, Mr. Conklin?
Well, this morning I planned on staying away for just 3 days. But then, when you siphoned off one of my lapels, I decided to make it 4 or 5. And just now, when you flogged me with that fly swatter, I realized I'll need at least a week.
Mr. Conklin, I won't deny that a series of extremely unfortunate incidents have occurred.
How very broad-minded of you. Well, there won't be any more of them for me, at least not for the next week. I always thought I was a man of more than average courage, Miss Brooks, but I've discovered recently that I'm not.
Please, Mr.
Oh, it's true. I am a coward, Miss Brooks. But be that as it may, I am determined to live long enough to be an old coward. Hence, I am about to flee the city.
But where are you going, Mr.
Conklin? I don't know yet. I've called the railroad station, but their trains are all jammed with 4th of July weekenders. However...
Yes, I know. It's very crowded on almost all the trains.
I haven't finished talking, Miss Brooks. I was about to say, however, I'm going to try the airport this afternoon. Maybe I can get a plane for somewhere. Oh, that's a very annoying fly.
Oh, I've got the swatter, Mr. Conklin. I'll get it this time. You just sit still.
No. I'll get out of this seat if you don't mind.
You got up, Mr. Conklin.
As I was saying, Miss Brooks, I'll go to the airport. And if I can't get a plane from somewhere, I may fly somewhere without a plane!
And so, class, it only requires a little concentration to avoid embarrassing mistakes in conversation. We'll take up next the works of Lord Boynton. Lord Byron. That's all for now. Class dismissed, and have a nice weekend.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Brooks. Could I see you for a minute?
Why, Mr. Boynton, you may see me for longer than that. Come in, won't you?
I just wanted to say goodbye, Miss Brooks.
Oh? Going somewhere?
Yes. Walter Denton just got me a ticket on the 4:15 to Eagle Springs. I'm going to spend the 4th of July weekend up there.
How nice for you, Mr. Boynton. It should do you a world of good.
Miss, I really need the rest. I've been working pretty hard lately. Still, I want you to know I'll miss our regular Friday afternoon date, Miss Brooks.
I don't see why. That was a pretty tiresome crowd we were running around with.
Miss Brooks, we went to the zoo on Fridays.
That's what I mean. Every week, the same old hairy faces.
It does a man good to get away from town every so often. Gives him a chance to think things out. Commune with nature, as it were. You know, I like to get next to Mother Nature once in a while.
Now, isn't that funny? I feel the same way about Father Nature. That is, I'm sure you'll have a lovely time, Mr. Boynton.
I knew you'd understand, Miss Brooks. Walter got me a seat in the parlor car. They usually come in twos, you know.
Do they?
Yes, I hope someone nice sits next to me. It's quite a long trip, and a friendly traveling companion can make the time pass much more pleasantly.
I'm sure you'll draw the doll of the world.
Now, not me. Just my luck, I'll probably wind up alongside some big fat dunce.
Do not like him. I mean, it's silly to even speculate about your train partner, Mr. Boynton. Forget it for now.
Well, if only he has a good sense of humor. I remember the last trip I took to New York. On my way back, I sat right next to George S. Kaufman, the famous playwright.
Really? How was his sense of humor?
You'd be surprised. It wasn't so good. I told him one of my best gags, too. You know the one where I make my shoes squeak on purpose? Well, when Kaufman asked me if they were new shoes, I said, "Shoes, nothing. Those are my Blue Jay corn plasters chirping." Now, you know that's funny.
It's a scream. How did Mr. Kaufman react?
He took two Alka-Seltzers and went to sleep.
Probably jealous because he didn't make it up.
Well, I guess I better be leaving now, Miss Brooks. I've still got to say goodbye to Mr. Conklin.
Well, whatever you do, don't mention my name to him. This is one of my bad days.
Miss Brooks, you shouldn't fight with Mr. Conklin.
I'm not fighting with him, Mr. Boynton. Why, Mr. Conklin would be the first to admit that we'd get along splendidly together if it weren't for just one thing.
What's that?
Me.
Come in.
Oh, I just dropped in to say goodbye, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, sit down a minute, Boynton. I'm just getting some information from the Travel Bureau. What did you say the name of that train was again? The Snake Eyes Limited? No, I'm afraid I don't care to go as far as Las Vegas. Goodbye. Now then, you were saying?
Just goodbye, Mr. Conklin. I'm going up to Eagle Springs for the weekend.
Eagle Springs? But you won't be able to get a train ticket. I've tried every which way to get out of this town, and it's just impossible.
Oh, not for me, it isn't. I've got my ticket right here. Seat 209 in the parlor car on the 415.
Well, let's see that ticket, Boynton.
Well, I'll be running along now, if you don't mind.
Just a moment, Boynton. Boynton, I've always looked upon you as one of the outstanding members of Madison's faculty. Not just as a teacher, mind, although you're one of the best.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Conklin.
But also as a human being. You, Boynton, are the type of chap who would never let anyone down.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Conklin.
That's why I know you'll sell me that ticket and postpone your own vacation.
Postpone it? But, Mr. Conklin, I can't.
Can't? In the vocabulary of a Madison High School teacher, there is no such word as can't.
Well, then I won't. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but I've worked very hard for this vacation.
Of course you have, my boy. It was selfish of me to even suggest that you give me your ticket on the train. The fact that I'm on the verge of complete mental breakdown should not sway you in the slightest.
Mental breakdown? Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Mr.
Conklin. Oh, chin up, boy. Wipe that frown from your face. You should be smiling. You're going on a trip. A happy, carefree trip. Forget about me trembling in my stuffy little office. You're on the train, boy. I can see you now. Sitting there in that plush parlor car, the sun streaming through the windows. What's this? Conductor is approaching. Tickets? Tickets, please. Where's your ticket?
Here it is.
Thanks, Boynton. I knew you'd come through.
Here you are, miss. Seat 208.
Thank you.
Now, this bag belongs to the gentleman in the next seat. He went back to the smoking car just before we pulled out.
Oh, that's perfect. Now I can really surprise him.
Oh, you know him?
Not as well as I'm going to. That is, we've never been on a vacation together before.
Oh, that's the fellow coming down the aisle there. Oh, yes. He's got adhesive tape on his glasses.
What? Are you sure that's the man who has seat 209?
Positive. I parked him here myself.
Oh. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to face the window before he sits down.
What for?
If he sees me before he sits down, he'll fall down.
Oh, I get it. It's a rib. Tickets. Tickets.
205, 207. Ah, here we are, 209. Hi-ho, to Eagle Springs we go. Well, I have a traveling companion. Yeah, I don't blame you for gazing out the window. Lovely scenery, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like taking a little trip, eh?
Mm-mm.
I don't mind telling you, I was a candidate for the Mayo Clinic before I got on this train. But it's going to be different now. Hi-ho, to Eagle Springs we go, and as we go, I sing, ho-ho, Hey, look at the sun coming from behind that cloud.
Hmm?
Shining on the window that way, it's beginning to reflect your features. Yes? Yes? There are your eyes. Nice eyes. There. There's your nose. Pretty nose. There's your mouth, your chin. Put them all together, and they add up.
Oh, no!
Hi-ho, hi-ho, to the Mayo Clinic we go.
Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, yes, tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Luster cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives you Kay Dumit's magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid, Luster Cream Shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, soft, manageable. Even in hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream Shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight, yes, tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, after I found out the identity of Mr. Boynton's summer replacement on the train, I altered my plans for the weekend. Computing the wind velocity and the rate of speed at which we were traveling, I decided not to get off until the first stop. Then I took the next train back to town. And when I arrived at the depot, I ran right into Walter Denton.
Miss Brooks, what are you doing here? You should be halfway to Eagle Springs by now.
I was, Walter, but I found out that Mr. Boynton isn't going, and I couldn't bear the thought of letting him spend the weekend alone.
Alone? But Miss Brooks, Mr. Boynton got a last-minute cancellation and left for Eagle Springs 5 minutes ago.
What?
Sure, I drove him down.
Oh, great. Well, there's only one way I can celebrate the holiday now. I'll make an anonymous call to Mr. Conklin on Monday.
An anonymous call?
Yes, Walter. That's the 4th of July, and I'm really going to shoot off my mouth.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Soap, Your Beauty Hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Here's a money-saving offer, men. A giant tube and a large tube of Palmolive brushless shaving cream for 49 cents. Yes, a 70-cent value for only 49 cents. This offer is made solely to prove you, too, can get smoother, more comfortable shaves the Palmolive brushless way. Just follow directions on the tube and treat your face to wonderful shaves. Yes, for extra shaving comfort at extra low cost, don't miss this Palmolive brushless bargain. At drug and toilet goods counters, get both giant and large size Palmolive brushless. A 70-cent value for only 49 cents. Last year, forest fires laid waste 30 million acres of America's timberland. This year, only you can keep it from happening again. So when you or your family are camping, motoring in, or even near a forest area, remember these four rules. One, crush out, completely out, all cigarette, cigar, and pipe ashes. Two, break matches in two after using. Three, drown all campfires, then stir and drown again. Four, before going near timber, ask fire authorities where campfires or even smoking are permitted. Remember, another 30 million acres will burn this year unless you are careful. For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. And be with us again at the same time next week for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
folks, that was Our Miss Brooks and July 4th, Trip to Eagle Springs, as aired on July 3rd, 1947. And now let's hear our last fun comedy show, Father Knows Best and Meaning of Freedoms, as aired on July the 5th, 1951.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons, brought to you by America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The coffee that's always good to the last drop. Be it ever so peaceful and ever so fair, be the sun shining bright at your door, there's nothing so sad or so full of despair as the morning after the night before. It's breakfast time in Springfield, and in the white frame house on Maple Street, all is not well. The 4th of July was a big day for the Andersons, but not as big as it might have been. That's why, on the 5th of July, the family goes to work on the greatest fall guy the world has ever known. Poor old Father. Like this.
But you said we weren't allowed to shoot off firecrackers.
That's right.
Well, Jimmy Woody had firecrackers and he shot them off.
Kathy, I've told you a dozen times. Shooting off firecrackers is against the law.
They shot them off in the park.
You eat your breakfast.
Well, didn't they?
Betty, do as your father tells you.
Can't I even talk?
Eat your breakfast, dear.
Jumping creepers. Everybody else got to shoot off firecrackers except me. I never get to do nothing.
You never get to do anything.
You said it. Everybody else.
Kathy, for the 10 millionth time, the use of firecrackers within the city limits of Springfield is illegal.
Then why did they shoot them off in the park?
Because that was a fireworks display. It's entirely different.
Mom, I can't find my other shoe.
Look under your bed, dear.
I did look. Never mind. I found it.
Bud, hurry up or you won't get any breakfast at all.
Okay, Dad.
Couldn't find his ears if they weren't fastened on.
Why are you shooting firecrackers in the park different?
Because it was part of the city's celebration. That's why.
Jimmy Woody shot off firecrackers, and I'm as much a part of the city as he is.
Kathy.
His father didn't tell him it was different.
Margaret, may I please have my coffee?
Of course, dear.
Every time somebody does something and I can't, it's different.
There you are.
Thank you.
Everybody gets a bigger allowance than I do, but it's different.
Kathy, in just about 1 minute...
I have to go to bed when it isn't even dark, but that's different, too.
Margaret, will you please tell her to be quiet?
People don't even like me around here. I'm going to join the WAX. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show the whole bunch
Kathy,
of you.
Kathy, be quiet.
But why can everybody else...
Eat your breakfast.
Gee whiz. I don't know what she's got to complain about. I was the only girl at the whole dance who had shoulder straps on her dress.
Now, don't you start.
Father, if you just wouldn't be so old-fashioned...
I am not old-fashioned, but I will not have my daughter traipsing around in a dress that's held up by nothing but a prayer and a city ordinance.
Jim, there's really no reason why...
Well, for the love of... Margaret, one of these days, that boy is going right through the stairs, so help me.
I don't think so, dear, but I'll speak to him again.
It's like living in the house with a bull rhinoceros.
Good morning, everybody. What's cooking?
Father is.
Betty, please.
Bud, is there any reason why you can't come down the stairs like a normal human being?
How do they do it?
They walk.
That's what I did.
You... May I have the cream and sugar, please?
Here you are, dear.
Thank you.
Nobody even cares if kids have fun on the 4th of July.
Dad...
Kathy, let me explain it to you once more. The reason children are not permitted to have firecrackers is a very simple one.
They don't want us to have any fun.
They don't want you to get hurt.
Dad.
Jimmy Woody had firecrackers and he didn't get hurt.
Good.
He only got 3 little blisters.
Fine.
On each hand.
Dad.
What is it, Bud?
Do you know how old Jerry Wilson is?
87?
He's 12.
Well, you certainly had me fooled.
Would you care for some more toast, dear?
No, thank you. This will be fine.
And his father bought him a gasoline scooter.
Bud.
I'm 15, and I had to go to the picnic on a bicycle.
How would you like to wear an evening gown with shoulder straps? I don't even like the 4th of July. I never saw such an awful day in my whole life.
Well, you all had a pretty miserable time yesterday, didn't you?
Well, gosh, Dad, if a 12-year-old kid can have a gasoline scooter...
You had nothing on your busy little minds but firecrackers and shoulder straps and gasoline scooters. Important things like that.
Father...
Nobody thought about the 4th of July, what it means, what it is. When I was a boy, the biggest thrill of the year was raising the American flag on Independence Day. But you were busy with more important things. Maybe that's the trouble with a lot of people in this country. They haven't the time to honor their flag or think of what it means to them as individuals, as a people.
Holy cow, Dad.
Be quiet, Bud, and listen.
Yes, ma'am.
We've all lost sight of the fact that the freedoms we take so much for granted, the right to speak our minds, the right to live as we choose, weren't always ours. Less than 200 years ago, our ancestors had to fight for them. And they didn't intend that Independence Day should be spent killing one another on the highways or blowing ourselves to bits with firecrackers. They fought, and some of them died, to give us freedom. And now we've forgotten them.
Father, we know all about Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. I know about George Washington.
I don't mean people like that, kitten. I mean plain, ordinary people like ourselves. The families of merchants and lawyers and hard-working farmers. Those are the people we've forgotten. The people who fashioned a whole new nation out of blood and tears and gossamer dreams. You know, 175 years ago, there was no United States of America. There was only a feeling of great unrest and resentment among the American people. In the larger cities, Boston, Philadelphia, New York, there was a sort of seething tension in the streets, in the coffee shops, everywhere. But life went on. People lived as they must always live.
But, Mama, I don't like cornmeal mush.
It's very good for you, Kathleen.
All I ever get is cornmeal mush.
We'll have no arguments, child. Eat your breakfast and be quiet.
Yes, Papa. Father.
Betsy. This is hardly the time to interrupt your father.
But, Mother...
Later, dear, please.
I'm quite finished with my newspaper. May I have my coffee, please?
Yes, dear. I hope I roasted the beans long enough this time.
I'm sure you did, my dear. Thank you.
James...
Margaret, if you and Betsy intend to speak of that dress again, may I warn you now that you are wasting your breath.
Father, the Widow Southgate says they're the latest style, and if only you weren't so old-fashioned...
I am not old-fashioned. I pride myself on being as modern and as well-informed as these changing times allow. But I will not permit a daughter of mine to risk the vapors in a low-cut bodice.
Dear, the Widow Southgate tells me...
Mother!
Jamie, how many times have you been told not to shout from the top of the stair?
But I can't find the buckle for my other shoe.
Margaret, will you please instruct your son...
Jamie, have you looked under your bedstead?
Yes, ma'am, I've looked... Never mind, it was inside of the shoe.
I'm very concerned about that young man.
James, he's only a boy.
He's 15 years old and preparing to enter the university. How can he expect to make his way in the world if he can't keep track of his shoe buckles?
Mother, you were going to tell Father what the Widow Southgate said.
Well...
Margaret, I have told you repeatedly that we cannot do business with the Widow Southgate.
But James, I've known Amanda Southgate all my life.
She has been denied a permit under the terms of the Lord North Restraining Act. And as an attorney sworn to uphold the law, I cannot permit you to trade with her establishment.
James, you know as well as I that the law is unjust.
We have already taken steps to ask that it be changed.
As you've asked that other laws be changed? As you've pleaded for representation in the government of the colonies? As you've asked...
Margaret...
When will you stop asking? When will you demand that we be heard?
When we have exhausted every peaceful method of petition. When we know, deep in our hearts, that the last stone has been turned. Jamie! Jamie! Madam, something must be done about the manner in which your son defies the laws of gravity.
Has Parliament passed a law about that, too?
Good morning. I trust everyone is well.
Good morning,
Good morning,
morning
brother.
Jamie?
Yes, Father?
What are you trying to establish in this constant attack on a perfectly innocent staircase?
I
presume that was you descending the stair. Or was it a band of horsemen pursuing a wild boar through our sitting room?
Father, I'm certainly glad you mentioned it. Do you know Jeremiah Wilson?
Did I mention Jeremiah Wilson?
No, but he's only 12, and his father bought him his own horse.
Jamie.
I'm 3 years older than he is, and do I have a horse? I have to walk to school.
Jamie.
And that's a long walk, 8 squares, and everybody else in the whole school.
Jamie.
Yes, sir?
A boy who cannot keep track of his shoe buckles cannot be entrusted with his own horse.
How can you misplace a horse?
If there were a way, you'd manage.
Betsy, no one asked for your opinion.
I didn't say anything, did I, Mama?
No, Kathleen.
I've been very good, haven't I, Mama?
Yes, Kathleen.
Do I still have to eat my cornmeal mush, Mama?
Yes, Kathleen.
Gee, Willikins.
Jamie, the front door.
Nobody's afraid that I'll misplace the front door.
I could close my eyes and find the front door in the dark.
I don't know. When I was a boy, my father never permitted this turbulence at his breakfast table. Breakfast was a quiet meal, peaceful and calm. There was none of this excitement and confusion. Everything was well ordered and contained. Everything...
Mother, it's Mrs. Smith.
Elizabeth.
Margaret, you've got to help me. We're in the most terrible trouble.
Girls, perhaps you'd best go outdoors and take your brother with you.
But I haven't finished my mush.
Go along, Kathleen.
Good day, Mr. Smith. Come along, Katie.
Don't call me Katie.
Now, Elizabeth?
Oh, I'm just beside myself. Nothing like this has ever happened in the entire history of our family.
Elizabeth, may I suggest that you calm yourself?
You. The entire affair is your fault.
My fault?
Elizabeth!
You were the one who put him up to it. You were the one who told him not to pay his taxes.
You mean Hector, I presume?
My husband. If only he hadn't listened to you.
Elizabeth, I assure you...
You gave him those articles on freedom. You explained to him that the Sugar and Molasses Act was illegal. You told him to petition the repeal of the Restraining Act. You told him
all... What I told Hector was true. The advice I gave him was sound. Our petitions are valid. Our protests are impeccable. If we stand united, no one can be punished.
No? Then why is Hector in jail?
Oh, James.
That's what I call truly good coffee. How about a second cup, darling? Those are wonderful words to hear, especially when you hear them from the world's greatest coffee expert, your husband. Of course, lots of folks think of us as experts, too, since more families do buy our Maxwell House coffee than any other brand. But when you make coffee for your husband, why, he's the expert who say so you care about. And tomorrow, if you'll just pour him a cup of heartwarmingly good Maxwell House coffee, we're mighty sure he'll say, best coffee I ever tasted. In fact, we'll return your money if he doesn't say that. You see, only Maxwell House has that wonderful good to the last drop flavor. Because only Maxwell House has the recipe. It's one that demands choice, extra flavor coffees, blended and roasted just so. And since no coffee is made like Maxwell House, no other coffee tastes like Maxwell House. Tomorrow, serve our Maxwell House to your husband. If he doesn't say, best coffee ever, why, just send us the can and unused portion, and we'll gladly refund your money. Our address is right on every familiar blue tin. Yes, to please the world's greatest coffee expert, your husband. Serve him Maxwell House coffee. Always good to the last drop.
It's moments later in the white frame house on Maple Street, but the Andersons aren't conscious of time. They've been swept back to the days of the American Revolution, to the story of a family much like their own. They've moved through the streets of an early American city, through the doors of the Court of Justice, and there they sit quietly, patiently, while an 18th century Anderson prepares to defend the rights of his friend Hector Smith. Like this. Hector, you must be truthful with me. Did you say anything more?
Jim, I take my oath. I told the man just what you told me to, that I was not going to pay taxes unless I had a voice in my own government.
And naturally, you had to say it to a man who was a representative of the king.
Elizabeth, how was I supposed to know
that... My husband. Thousands of people in the city, and he has to argue with tax collectors.
Elizabeth, I'm sure it isn't as bad as you fancy. Is it, James?
I don't know, Margaret. In these affairs, one can never be sure.
Oh, the disgrace. That I, a Stuyvesant on my mother's side, should live to see the day that my own husband...
The court will rise.
Oh,
Margaret.
Yes, dear.
They're about to begin. Why don't you take Elizabeth to a seat?
All right, James. Come along, dear. We'll find a comfortable bed.
If only he wouldn't argue with people. If only he would listen to me.
The Crown calls Hector Smith.
Jim, maybe if I plead guilty, they'll give me a lighter fine.
You can't plead guilty, Hector. The tax is unjust, and we must prove it so.
May it please your lordship.
Are you Hector Smith?
I am James Anderson, your lordship, a solicitor engaged by Hector Smith for his defense.
Well, well, step forward. Don't stand there.
Yes, my lord.
Jim, why don't you ask him...
Please, Hector, not yet.
The bailiff will read the charge against the prisoner.
May it please your worship...
Silence.
Hector, please be quiet.
The bailiff will proceed.
Hector Smith, territorial colonist, is hereby charged by the Crown with failure to pay his just taxes under Section 7 of the Act governing the sale of sugar and molasses.
How do you plead?
Your worship...
May it please your lordship, this is not a proper charge, and a plea cannot therefore be entered.
Not proper? Ridiculous. I drew the charge myself.
Your lordship,
I insist that the prisoner plead. Is he guilty or not guilty?
Is he guilty or not guilty of what, my lord? Of not paying his taxes? Yes, of this he is guilty, but these taxes are levied without reason. They are an affront to the principles of justice and democracy.
Mr. Anderson, I like not your tone.
Nor I a court where the magistrate draws the charges.
Jim, they'll wind up by hanging me.
Hector, will you please stop worrying?
May I remind the solicitor that he does his client a disservice by such outbursts?
I ask your lordship's pardon. It shall not happen again.
Very well. I shall ask once more. How does the prisoner plead?
He pleads not guilty, your lordship, and a host of citizens stand firm at his side. Nowhere in the history of government...
The prisoner will rise.
If it please your lordship...
The prisoner will rise. Hector Smith.
Yes, your worship?
I find you guilty as charged.
But your lordship...
You will serve 18 months at hard labor, and your property is confiscated to the Crown. Remove the prisoner.
This is infamous, your lordship. Parliament has agreed to consider our problem.
Mr. Anderson, we have no time for such trifles.
Trifles? Since when is a man's freedom a trifle?
Our courts are cluttered with this colonial rabble. Be satisfied that I did not order him hanged.
Your lordship.
Jim, don't risk your own neck.
I have a right to speak.
I order you to be silent.
And I demand that I be heard.
Bailey?
We have all been silent too long. We've asked only a voice in our own government, and to no avail. Now we shall speak with a voice of liberty and justice. We shall raise a cry of freedom that will echo through the hearts of all mankind.
This is treason.
This is truth. The God who gave us life gave us liberty as well. We are free men endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The militia!
Jim, it's come. It's here.
Bailey! At last it's here. The final word has been said. The final stone has been turned.
Bailey!
He's gone, my lord. And gone is tyranny. Gone is oppression. Gone is the iron heel that ground justice into the dust. We are aflame, my lord. The torch of freedom is lit at last.
And just as soon will be snuffed out. They'll shoot you down as they did in Boston.
Let them shoot, my lord. We are patriots, and our blood will nourish the streets and meadows and wooded hills. Our bones will bleach in the summer sun and chill in the winter snow. But if one man survives, he will be free. From his sinews will come a new race of men. From his heart will come a new life. Through him we shall build a new nation in which our children will live without fear, in which justice and freedom will prevail. Through him will be born a new world, America.
Not exactly, Kitten. That sort of thing went on for years, all over the colonies.
Well, what did happen on the 4th of July?
Oh, are you a dope? They signed the Declaration of Independence.
But I wish you wouldn't speak to Kathy that way.
But how can she be so dumb?
All right, genius. Who signed it?
What?
Who signed the Declaration of Independence?
Oh, gosh. Practically everybody.
Bud, the Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 men.
Well, that's a lot, isn't it?
Daddy!
Yes, Kathleen?
There's only one thing I don't understand. What's so wonderful about the Declaration of Independence?
He'll tell you some other time, dear.
Margaret, if you don't mind, I'd just as soon tell her now.
While he's in the groove.
While I have all three of my knot-headed children in a listening mood.
What did I do?
Not a thing. And let's keep it that way.
Jim, if you're going to tell
me... All right, honey. The Declaration of Independence was written not to point out new principles or new arguments or even to say things which had never been said before, but to put before the people of the world an announcement of the fact that the American people considered themselves from that day forward an independent nation. Do you understand that?
Oh, sure.
Dear, she didn't understand one word you said.
Of course she did.
Maybe she did, but I sure didn't.
Well, I couldn't have made it clearer. You understood me, didn't you, Bud?
Yes, sir. Well, I promised Joe I'd help him do something.
What did I say?
About what?
The Declaration of Independence.
You mean the whole thing?
Or any small portion thereof.
This is going to be good.
Well, you said that the Declaration of Independence was important because it told everybody that on the 4th of July, 56 fellas got together and... Well, anyway, it's the birthday of the United States. That's the important part.
Oh, that's what it is!
Well, you could put it that way. And you know, come to think of it, isn't it strange that no one ever gives the country a birthday present?
Jim, really?
I mean it, honey. Everybody else gets them.
Father, if you'll buy the wool, I'll knit the country a pair of argyles.
Take her up on it, Dad.
How will she know what size?
That was a joke, dear.
Another one?
I'm being very serious.
Father, you're not.
I certainly am. We have the good fortune to live in the greatest country in the entire world. A country that has given us blessings far richer than we know. Our country has given us a heritage of freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom from want, freedom from fear, freedom to worship in any church we may choose. It gathered us all sorts of Americans from the far-flung corners of the earth and made for us a home. Give me your tired, your poor, it said.
your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Our country has a birthday every year, celebrated on the 4th of July, and all of us, no matter how rich or how poor, can afford the only gift it wants, a pledge of undying loyalty and devotion, a vow that in the year ahead, we'll remember and observe the simple principles of democracy, a promise that, to the best of our ability, we'll live as Americans.
What is it that gives you so much pleasure in a really good cup of coffee? Why, it's flavor. Yes, ma'am, and naturally, for top value, you want the most in flavor for your money. So take home the one coffee famous above all others for flavor, our Maxwell House coffee. Start serving it to your husband, the world's greatest coffee expert. When he smiles with delight and says, "Best coffee ever," you'll know why Maxwell House is world famous for flavor. Then just count all the cups of truly satisfying coffee you get from that familiar blue Maxwell House tin with the big white cup and drop. That's what you call value, lady. At your own table, then, find out how much more flavor you get for your money with Maxwell House coffee. Always good to the last drop.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Robert Young. Tonight, Father Knows Best brings to a close its second season of broadcasts, and all of us will leave on our annual vacation. Before we go, however, the members of my radio family have asked permission to say their individual goodbyes. Being an indulgent husband and father, quite naturally, I had to agree. So, here they are. June Whitley?
I hope you have a very nice summer, and be sure to come back with us in the fall, won't you? Goodbye.
Rhoda Williams?
Goodbye, goodbye. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say goodbye till it be morrow and have a real keen summer, gang.
Norma Jean Nelson?
We're going up to Round Lake again, and they've got boats and docks to jump off, and you can go swimming and fishing. And this year I'm going to collect things like snakes and bullfrogs. And if any of you come up to the lake, my mother's a wonderful cook, and she'll be only too
happy.
Did I say something wrong?
You're supposed to say goodbye.
That's what I was doing.
Well, say it.
Gee whiz. Goodbye, everybody.
And finally, a word from Ted Donaldson.
So long.
That was the word. Just about does it, neighbors. I'm heading north to see a man about some fish, and I'll be driving carefully all the way. Oh, just one more thing before I go. If you take any trips this summer, leave early enough so you won't have to drive in a hurry. Then we'll all be around when it's time to get together again in the fall. That's the ticket. See you later.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Folks, Gainesy, the famous talking dog, always says, Gaines meal. What about Gaines meal, Gainesy? Nourishes every inch of a dog. It sure does. Kennel and laboratory tests prove Gaines meal supplies balanced nourishment your dog needs for good health. Yet Gaines costs less to feed than any other type of dog food. So, folks, get Gaines meal. America's largest selling dog food.
Remember, Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, will return to the air over these same NBC stations on Thursday, September 6th. Our broadcast time will be 1/2 hour earlier, and your local newspapers will remind you of date, time, and station. So until September 6th, this is Bill Foreman saying good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best is transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned in for Dragnet, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Dragnet, the story of your police force, is next on NBC.
Well, folks, that was Father Knows Best and Meaning of Freedoms, as aired on July the 5th, 1951. We got to close out this wonderful hour of fun, and I wave and smile and wish you peace and a happy life. Now we give the mic to Louise, who can close out the hour. Peace out.
Okay, Max, thanks a lot. I will take it from here. We've just reached the end of the line here, folks, so it's time for me to shut things down and wrap things up for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. So if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them via email to micamelli@earthlink.net. That's micamelli @earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. It's a beautiful day out there. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.